Revelation chapter 18. After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth, who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her, will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon the strong city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and every kind of citron wood, and every article of ivory, and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble, and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense, and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep, and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. And the fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste. Every shipmaster, and every passenger and sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea, stood at a distance, and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads, and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, Woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. And a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus will Babylon the great city be thrown down with violence, and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer, and no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer, and the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Let's pray together. Father, an awesome passage. Grant that we may be struck by it, and grant that we too may be with those of heaven and of the saints and of the apostles.
and be able to rejoice in the judgments of our God. Help us in this, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our thesis is simply this, that heaven rejoices as God answers the prayers of His people, and Babylon meets the doom to which it was appointed. This is truly an awesome section of the book of Revelation. And as I said, we have a lot of ground to cover, and so we will not be able to cover it in depth, but we will go over the entire chapter. At least that is my goal. And so pray for me as we do this. God's plan for Babylon is that it should be destroyed. And I think this begins in the book of Genesis with Genesis 3:15. I have Genesis 3:16 in the outline. That's an error. And some have said to err is human. And I'm one of those humans that does often err. So you can change that in the outline if you like. Genesis 3:15, you will recall, is a word of God to the serpent, where God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and your seed, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, so that there was to be perpetual enmity and strife and hatred between the people of God and the people of the devil. And I think that this was a prophecy in which God said that this enmity would last not only through this world, but on into eternity. And this is one reason that there is such places as heaven and hell in eternity. And hell, of course, is that awful place in which the enemies of God are judged. And so the doom of Babylon is begun, at least in Scripture, at this point in Genesis chapter 3:15. And this is a doom, if you look at 1 Peter 2:8, and I'm not going to turn there, but you can look at that particular Scripture. That is a doom to which all those who reject Jesus Christ are appointed. And the Scriptures are very clear on this count. Not only so, the Scriptures are clear in that if we pray in accordance with God's will, this is 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, if we pray in accordance with God's will, we receive that for which we pray. And part of the prayers of God's people, as we have seen them in the book of Revelation, involve the judgments of God. And we're going to see that as we look at this particular chapter in the book of Revelation. So those are some of the things which are in the background as we come to this particular text. In the first point, in the first three verses, we see that all within Babylon are slaves to sin. And I think this is the message that comes out of the picture. Let's read those three verses again. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. And all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. The vision presents this angel coming down from heaven, and this is an angel of great authority, perhaps one of the inner circle of the echelons of angels in glory. And the glory of this angel is sufficient to illumine the earth. Now, those of you who have been with us in this exposition, remember that the earth, I'm counting on you remembering this, that the earth is symbolic of that which is opposed to God, the kingdom of this world. It's a symbol. And we've been talking in this symbolic language as we've looked at the book of Revelation. And this is an illumination of the earth, of sin which is present in the world. I think that's the picture that is given to us. And the picture which we see when this sin is illumined is that people who are in sin are slaves to sin. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. I think that's the picture which is given to us. Okay? And those who have relations with the world and are firmly ensconced in the world are slaves to the world and are slaves to sin. In the early class, we were talking, in our class at any rate, we were talking at the start about people who are addicted to cyberspace, and they do all they can to get at that computer and stay on that computer. And it's amazing, isn't it, that this is a form of addiction. Slaves to this sort of thing. The only answer to that problem of slavery is Jesus Christ and coming to Jesus Christ. And that's what we must do. Let's go on in our text. Point two, Christians have no part in the degradation of Babylon. Verse 4 and following, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. We define Babylon as the capital of evil and the center of all evil. Sometimes it is manifested in government. Sometimes that evil is manifested in education. Sometimes that evil is manifested in the arts. Sometimes that evil is manifested in science. It comes to the fore in all sorts of different ways as people reject the living God and attempt to build in this world a kingdom for themselves without God. Many of the commentators say that verse 5, her sins have piled up as high as heaven, looks back to ancient Babel and the building of the Tower of Babel, where people thought by their work they could reach heaven. And some people today think that by their good works they can reach heaven. Part of the process in the building of that tower was that there would be unity brought to that ancient people as they sought to make a name for themselves, Genesis says, rather than a name for God. That sort of posture is judged by God because our chief end, is it not? Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's the whole point, the whole purpose of humanity is to glorify God. And it's very interesting then that verse 4 says, this voice comes from heaven, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sin. Come out, be ye separate, says the Lord. Be separate from the world. Do not be slaves to sin, but be a slave to Jesus Christ. Be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Serve Jesus Christ. That's the contrast that's being made. And Jesus said it, the apostles said it, that we are to be holy as God is holy. And we are to be pointed in the direction of holiness, each one of us. We are to look at ourselves and conform our lives to the image of Jesus Christ and live in accordance with the standards set forth by Jesus Christ. We are to be holy as He is holy. That should be our aim. That should be our objective. And so we are to come out and be separate. Why? We don't want to be judged as Babylon is judged, do we? I think one of the reasons that Revelation is so graphic in its images is to show us that hell is real and that the torments of hell are real and that they are to be avoided at all costs and that the blessings of Jesus Christ are equally real and that they are to be sought out with might and main and that we are to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. That's the contrast that's given throughout the book of Revelation. You know, in this world, that contrast is played down to such an extent that many people actually believe that if they live as the devil, there will be no consequences. It's pretty sad. It really is sad. But that's not what our text tells us. Let's read on. Verse 6, pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds, in the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, I am not a widow, I will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. Pay her back. She's doubled her sins and walked out on that plank as far as she dare go. She's pushed the limits as far as she possibly can. You know, that's often how we live. We want to push back the barrier. We want to test everything as far as we can. We want to get out there as far as we dare. This is what the Scripture is telling us. Judgment comes, then. That's the response. And we need to understand that that's the case. And Christians, people who love Jesus Christ, ought to display in their lives that although they are in the world, they do not live as though they are of the world. They are not of the same spirit as the world. Isn't that the case? Well, we have to rush on. Our third point, the citizens of Zion rejoice at answered prayer while they hear the lamentations of doom in Babylon. This is extraordinary, folks. It really is. Let's read verse 9. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and live sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment has come. I wish we had time to work out the theme of illumination which is given to us in the very first verse of chapter 18. Because the angel who comes down illumines the earth. And I really believe that part of this illumination involves the fact that sinners who are judged ultimately understand intellectually their depravity and the grievous nature of their sins, and therefore are in deep fear regarding the judgments of God. You see, it's a profound thing for us to understand the fact that the people who are judged in hell understand that that judgment is just and that they fear with all of their hearts the wrath and the anger of God. You see, we don't get that message very much. And we think that people who sin are just going to have a ball down there in that place. That they're just going to skip around and do their thing, as it were. Not so. We're talking about real horror here. And there are those who are immediately going to say, well, you know, you shouldn't use these fear tactics. You're not going to scare people into heaven, you know. That's right. But I would hope that there'd be some people who would be scared about hell. And they might be scared enough that they'd put them in a position where they would really hear the Word of God and seek the Lord. That's part of the message that's given here. Let's go on. Verse 11. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys her cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. I want to stop right there. Because something very interesting happens here. All of the material goodies of the earth are laid out for display at this point. I want you to see how this is done. Verse 11 again. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. One. That's one category. And fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet. That's a second category. And every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and marble and iron. What do we got? That's three, right? A fourth category. And cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense. A fifth category. And wine and oil and fine flour and wheat. A sixth category, and cattle and sheep, and cargoes of horses and chariots, a sixth category, and slaves and human lives, a seventh category. In other words, you remember, don't you, that the number seven in the book of Revelation means completeness. All of the world's goods are enjoyed by these folks, and these people revel in the luxuries of this world. It's like the rich and famous, right? We want to watch the TV show that tells us about the rich and famous and all the luxury that they enjoy. And individuals love that sort of thing. They become so enamored that they are slaves of this world. Verse 14 says, and the fruit you long for has gone from you. And the things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away, and men will no longer find them. When we put our emphasis, when we put all of our marbles, when we put all of our work and effort into these things, they perish, folks. That's part of the message. Verse 15. And the merchants and these who became rich from her will stand at a distance from the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste. First, the kings of the earth mourn and lament, woe, woe, the great city. And second, the merchants of the earth mourn and lament the passing of this great city. And then there is a third category, verse 17. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she has been laid waste. Folks, the message we need to get is this. that there is only one eternal kingdom. It is the kingdom of our Lord and of Jesus Christ. And there is only one safe haven for us, and that is union with Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all worthy of condemnation. We are people who are worthy to be under the judgments of God. Yet through faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior, He takes for us those judgments. And those who do not trust in Him are like those kings and those merchants and those sailors who look at that great city and they say, "What great city is there like it? Is there any like it?" And they have no eyes for heaven at all, and for the new Jerusalem, which will come down from heaven in all of its glory and splendor. At the moment, I'm reminded of a little story that I was told by Dr. Zeller, who preached for us at communion. And he said, "You know, this fellow made a bargain with the Lord, and he said, 'Lord, I've got to have one parcel, one suitcase that I take to heaven with me. I just got to take it with me.'" And the Lord said, "No, that's not how we do it around here." And he begged and pleaded, and so the Lord condescended and said, "Well, okay, one suitcase you can take with you." And so when this guy dies, he goes up and meets St. Peter. And St. Peter looks at him and says, "You know, what's this suitcase? This is, you can't take that suitcase with you into heaven." "Well, I made a bargain with God. Made a bargain with the Lord about that." "Well, okay, open it up. Let me see what's in it." So the man opens up his suitcase and St. Peter looks in it and he says, "Ah, more pavement." We're so consumed with the gold and the silver and the precious stones and the pearls of this life, we have no conception of the glory which awaits us. Verse 20. See, here's the response of heaven now to this terrible judgment that comes. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Rejoice over the smoke of the burning of Babylon." And you see on the edges of heaven the saints of glory looking, as it were, over the precipice and seeing the smoke of hell ascending. And what are they doing? They are singing, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." You know, this is coming in the next chapter. All you have to do is read the next verses, and this is the case. This is absolutely startling and amazing. But the judgments of God are great and glorious, and the righteousness of God is true. See, we hardly have a conception of this. I thought to myself, now, how in the world do you explain something like this? Well, two ways, I think. First of all, how many of you have ever shouted at the top of your lungs at an athletic event over the utter defeat of the other team? Have you ever done that? Why? Because you were absolutely ecstatic regarding the demise of that other team. I submit to you, we have the same sort of thing going on here. Go back and look at the records of history when Hitler was defeated and the European coalition celebrated a victory. The people in America danced in the streets when that other army was decimated and destroyed. And as it were, we could see the smoke of her burning.
We rejoice. Isn't it the same thing? Yes, I think it is.
In fact, this is something for which many people prayed during the Second World War and during the Korean War. It's absolutely amazing that this has to do with the prayers of God's people. Turn back to chapter 8, if you will, and let me show you something quickly in Revelation chapter 8. In Revelation chapter 8, it says in verse 3, "And another angel came and stood at the altar holding the golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake." The prayers of God's people involve the judgments of God. Turn back to chapter 6 in the book of Revelation, and we see another place where we find the prayers of God's people. Verse 9, "And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?'" In Revelation chapter 18, we see the answer to those prayers. Let's turn back to chapter 18 and read these final verses. Time is very short. Verse 21 and following, "And the strong and a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'Thus will Babylon the great be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer.' And the sound of harpists..." I need to stop here again. Because Babylon is going to be utterly destroyed. That's the picture. This millstone thrown into the midst of the sea. And it's very interesting, the picture regarding numbers again, which is given to us. Follow me here. "Thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer." The first time that's said. "And the sound of the harpist and musician and flute player and trumpeter will not be heard in you any longer." The second time that's said. "And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer." The third time that is said. "And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer." The fourth time that is said. "And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer." The fifth time that is said, "and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard any longer." The sixth time that is said. Folks, the number six has to do with men and women. The number of the beast is 666. And the ways of men will totally be destroyed so that the ways of God will be exalted mightily. And that, it seems to me, is the picture which is given to us. And when we understand the truth of that, we fall on our faces before God and we worship the living God and we cry out to Jesus Christ, "Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Cover my sins, I pray." You see, the whole point is so that we understand our need of Jesus Christ and come to Him. Jesus, when He walked in this world, said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, to be in the yoke of Jesus Christ, to be a servant of Jesus Christ, that's the point. to love Jesus Christ and serve Him, and to understand that in no way will we be participants in these terrible judgments of God. How good that is to know, dear friends. Because Christ will come a second time in glory, and He will come to judge the earth. Are your sins covered by the blood of Jesus? Are they? Do you trust Jesus Christ as the only Lord and Savior? Do you? That's the great question. And that's the great question, folks, that each one of you needs to answer. Let's pray together. Father, it is truly an awesome text which is before us. It's a text, Lord, that we don't like. It's a text we don't like because it speaks of the judgmental aspects of Your holy being. Oh God, how great You are. Help us to understand that that's the case. Grant that we might fall on our faces before You and give You the worship and adoration You are due, even now, that we may not be constrained to do so later from a place we wish we never entered. God grant that that would be the case. Lift our hearts to You, we pray, and give us Your Spirit and the Spirit of faith that we might worship You as we ought. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.